Okay, Leviticus chapter 3. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 3. I don't know how you've been finding these studies. I at first was a little apprehensive when I was looking at doing some of these topics, but the more I get into it, why, the more interesting it is, and I'm finding out a lot of information from these. There's four chapters that deal with the peace offering, and we're doing the peace offering today, as some of you know, if you've been looking ahead. Chapter 3 of the peace offering is one of the sweet aroma offerings. And there's some details in it in chapter 3. There's also some details in it in chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 19, and 22. So actually there's five chapters that have a little bit to do with the peace offering. In chapter 3 of Leviticus, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, he offers it, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he'll lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around the altar, and then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that's on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is a sacrifice, as a sacrifice of a peace offering, is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. A lamb, if he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone. And the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that's on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that's on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar, and then he shall offer from it his offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that's on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that's on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma, for all the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Ye shall eat neither fat nor blood. And then let's go over to the to chapter 7 and verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which ye shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Brother Dan spoke a while back on the different ways of a different offering, okay? Not this offering, but a different offering. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the same day that it's offered. There's three kinds of peace offerings. Okay, there's an offering of thanksgiving, there's an offering of a free will offering, and there's an offering after vows. Okay, so for the thanksgiving offering, it says that the flesh shall be eaten the same day it's offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers the sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it will not be accepted. Nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it. And the person who eats it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness or an unclean animal or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. You shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or of goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally. The fat of what is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whosoever eats the fat of the animal of which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, that person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether a bird or a beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering by the Lord to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The fat with breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons'. So God is providing through this offering food for the priests, okay? The breast shall be in the rib, the breast area shall be the Aaron's and his sons'. Also, the right thigh you shall give to the priests as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. So you get the breast and also the right thigh for the priest who does the ceremony. Okay? After the after the offerer himself slays the animal before the altar. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I've given them to Aaron the priest, and his sons, from the children of Israel by a statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons, from the offerings made by fire to the Lord, on the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. And it's interesting, in this passage, the peace offering is listed as last. We've only covered three offerings now. This is the third one, but there's two more. And in chapter 7, the peace offering is listed as last. In chapter 3, it's listed third out of, I think, 5. So, and the peace offering was not an offering to bring peace. It's interesting. You know, we had the burnt offering and the sin offering. The peace offering was not an offering to bring peace, because the peace was brought about through the animal sacrifices earlier. In fact, it says here in the passage we just read, they will offer the peace offering on the burnt offering. Okay, so there was a burnt offering, and the peace offering was to celebrate peace with God, because there had been a way to get your sins not forgiven, what's the word? Covered, right? Atoned. So you get your sins covered, atoned. Okay? And this was a fellowship offering, okay? The peace offering. In fact, I looked up, it's interesting when you look up peace offering and Hebrew offerings on Google, you know, you only get about 500,000 citations to look at, and I didn't look at all of them in the past 3 weeks, but there was one that I copied, which has been duplicated in other people's work, from a rabbi. It said, a peace offering is an offering expressing thanks or gratitude to God for his bounties and mercies. The Hebrew term for this offering is zebek shalomim, or sometimes just shalomim, which is related to the word shalom, meaning peace or whole. A representative portion of the offering is burned on the altar. A portion is given to the priest, and the rest is eaten by the offerer and his family. Thus, everyone gets a part of this offering. This category of offerings includes the thanksgiving offerings, Toda in Hebrew, and the freewill offerings, which and the Toda offering was eaten that day. And then the freewill offerings and were eaten that day and the next day. And then the vow offerings made after fulfillment of a vow, were eaten also that day, that night, and the following day. But the third day, remember, had to be all burnt. So The statement which later was in the, was adopted by rabbis was that, and probably rabbis probably more towards the time of Christ, I'm not sure, was that the Thanksgiving offerings had to do with four different areas, okay? And the four different areas, let's see, the four different areas, if I can find them here, go along with Psalm 107. Let's go look at Psalm 107. In talking about the Thanksgiving offering. Psalm 107. And they quote various sections of this psalm. This is a long psalm. We're not going to read it, of course, but they talk about the Thanksgiving offerings as something of thanksgiving from either your life being rescued or your life being saved or something very large that you're giving thanks for. And they talk about a sea voyage, and they quote verses 23 to 31. Let's take a look at 23 to 31. Those who go down to the ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens and go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress as he calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they're glad because they're quiet, so he guides them to the desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then they also, one reason that the rabbis encouraged this Thanksgiving offering was had related to, I guess it was chapter, verse 4 and verses 4 through 8, which talks about crossing the desert. In verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. It's funny, that was one of our memory verses, wasn't it, from Uncle Dave's meetings? Was that one of your verses, I think? Or also it was from Sunday school this past year, and there was one verse in there which we had, and it was a whole section. I remember trying to memorize this verse as I walked in the morning, going down Jeffrey Boulevard down to Blaisdell and back. As I was doing my walking, I was using this section for a memory verse. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So they had one for sea voyage out of this psalm. They had one for crossing the desert out of this psalm. They looked back at verse 17 after a severe illness. Starting at verse 17 to 21, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then the last one they included was verse from 17 to 21. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, this offering, as Moses was given this offering, probably didn't have these contingencies on it. But these are four cases in which the rabbis taught for hundreds of years that there should be a peace offering given, or something to, in this type of a problem, or this type of deliverance, in which the people should be gratified that God has saved them, God has reached out to them, heard their cries, and they're enjoined to give thanks. So that's kind of talks about thanks offering. Or the first part. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 3. Or Leviticus chapter, let's go back to chapter 7, actually. Of the three animals, whether it was the bull or the lamb or the goat, all of these animals had to come from the person's flock. You know, they had to come from the person's flock. They couldn't be a wild animal. Even if it was a clean animal, couldn't be a wild animal. It had to be one of these three types of animals. Because if you just go out and hunt and capture an animal, observe it for 7 days and make sure that it's not bruised or anything, and you kill it, slaughter it, that's just like hunting food for your family, right? But if you have to give something up out of your flock, give something up out of your herd that you've cared for years or a year or two. In fact, the goats, I think, were only a year old. And if you read through some of the other passages, if you've been caring for an animal, there's an attachment there, especially with the children in the family and the younger ones in the family. But this animal had to be one that was coming from your own hand, that you have been raising, had in your possession, part of your material possessions, because then it was a sacrifice, right? It's not a big deal to go out and capture an animal. Well, it'd be probably tricky if you were trying to capture a wild bull, I suppose. I don't know how we go about doing that, you know, but or a wild goat, you know. It's easier to use a 30-06 or something, you know, instead of trying to capture something without hurting it. But the idea was it had to be something of your own possession so that it was a sacrifice. It wasn't just a gift to God, but it was a sacrifice. You're giving up something that belonged to you. And in each of these cases, that's what it's talking about. In each of these cases in chapter 7, no matter what of the three animals it was something that you had claimed to and that you had invested time into and work into. And it was yours. It wasn't just from somebody else. It was something that was yours as a thanks offering. The other offerings, the also thing here in Leviticus, so let's just slide over to chapter 9. As we're in 7 here. And chapter 9, it talks about, from verses 8 on, I think it is, from 8 on it talks about the animals, but whenever there's a series of offerings, the peace offering was the last offering. And again, it goes from 9 to about verse 21. And the peace offering was the last of the offerings because at that point they had been reconciled to God through having their sins covered and their sins atoned for. These offerings were offerings, as it says, they could share. They shared with the priest. The fat belonged to the Lord, but the priest got the thigh, the right thigh, and the right breast. Okay, so they were taking care of the priests. They were having fellowship with God because they were celebrating burning the fat. And I remember when our brother Dave and I think probably Bill Ferguson spoke on this at camp. Who did we have marshmallows that year, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, every cabin got a bag of marshmallows, and we were teaching on the offerings, you know. And it was very interesting to see what each cabin did at teen camp with that bag of marshmallows. And knowing teenagers, you probably know what happened to most of the fat for the offerings, you know. But there were, I think we had, two cabins, I think, that actually saved marshmallows for the message the next morning, you know. My cabin was not one of them. We blew it, you know. I offered up the person that ate most of the marshmallows. But Uncle Dave didn't take that. As the priest, he didn't, couldn't handle that. You know, there were two cabins. There were only one or two cabins that, actually went through and read chapter 3 and chapter 7 and realized, hey, we're not supposed to touch these things. This is to be offered as an offering. I was tempted this week to go up to a federal meat market somewhere, one of the meat butchers in Hamburg, and see if I get some fat just to burn it to see what it would smell like, but I didn't do that. Bethel said, it's too bad you couldn't bring an object lesson, and I said, well, that's not a very pleasant object lesson if you're going to try to do an animal or sort of burn anything, you know. And I said, actually, it wouldn't be too pleasant. And besides that, even as some of these sites that I found of the Jewish sites, why they said that the offering ceased. You know, the offering ceased once the temple was destroyed in AD 70 because God said you can only offer this, you know, in a certain place. You know, first it was the tabernacle, then it was the temple. And we're not allowed to offer sacrifices anywhere else. And they said when the millennial kingdom is set up, we read in Ezekiel 43 that there's going to be burnt offerings and sin offerings. And I don't know why you're going to have burnt offerings and sin offerings in the kingdom, because, you know, of course, Christ's death cleanses us from all sin if we appropriate it to ourselves. And the Jewish people teach in the Talmud that it's the peace offerings that's going to be offered at that time. But Ezekiel clearly records that God says the burnt offerings and sin offerings. So that's another whole other study you can do on your own. And you can search that one out yourself. But it said, no, and this one fellow says it's, once the sin offering and gift offering were accomplished, there was this third sacrifice, which was the peace offering. Actually, it was more of a meal than a sacrifice. Unlike the other two offerings, the peace offering did not accomplish anything, such as the burnt offering and the sin offering. Rather, it was a celebration of completion. You know, a celebration of completion for the blessings that God has given and the provision he's provided. The sin offering and gift offering were accomplished. What remained was blessed fellowship with the Lord. So that's how they were to give. One of the ways in which they were to give thanks was the peace offerings which they had. How do we give thanks? You know, it says that Jesus wants to eat with us, right? Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And at the last Passover, he said with the disciples, "With desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you." And he's eager. You know, and here's that sacrifice. The peace offering was burnt the fat as a gift to the Lord, in which there was something recognizing the Lord's presence. Give the meat, give the thigh, give the breast to the priest. There's an exercise there with fellow servants. And then with the people of his family or guests that he had to celebrate why he had the peace offering that he could share himself. So it was a very, very interesting dinner. I thought of, when I was preparing the message, I thought also of the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son comes back after realizing that he was a complete fool for leaving his father and spending all that money and finding out that when you lose your money, you lose your friends. You know, and he finally had the integrity to come back and ask forgiveness. Not to come back as a son, but just to come back as a servant. But the father threw this humongous party, right? And his brother could hear it out in the fields. And he could hear that there was something going on at home, and he said to his servant, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, your brother came back, and your father's throwing this big party. He's killed a fatted calf. He's got the royal robe, you know, his father's robe, and a ring on his finger, and he's celebrating. Your brother's back." And that's kind of the kind of festivity, I think, that we think about when we think about the peace offering, an offering of thankfulness, an offering of joy for what God has given us. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works of the praises of men, servants of men. So we don't do offerings today, but how do we celebrate it? You know, we had a time at the Lord's Supper this morning, which was just, I thought, great. I had the book in front of me here all the time, and I forgot to go in and come back to it. But just for those of you that missed the Lord's Supper this morning, in verse 1, hymn 182, we had "A peace with God within," verse 2. In 188, we had "I sacrifice them to his blood." Hymn 71, which we learned this morning, we learned two songs this morning. We learned hymn 71 in the Lord's Supper, and we learned a new tune for the one that Jorge gave us, which was a very good tune. I like that one. But in hymn 71 in the Black Book, verse 3, "Thou the ransom price has given, setting thus the captive free. Thou art Lord of earth and heaven, we joy in thee. Through thy blood we stand forgiven. Praise, praise to thee, risen Lord, at thy returning, sweet and full our song shall be. Hasting to that blissful morning, we joy in thee. Thou hast read our spirit's longing, yearning, praise, praise to thee." And this peace offering, or fellowship offering, is an offering of praise and of thanksgiving, which was given to remind the people that we need to be thankful people. And it's many verses, in fact, in the New Testament to talk about thanksgiving and for it to be thankful. We have in, well, first of all, in Nehemiah, Let's look at Nehemiah in the Old Testament first, Nehemiah 12. That is the Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and Psalms. Nehemiah. This was at the wall, when they were dedicating the wall. We've come back to that a number of times in the past couple of months, in various ways, the Lord's Supper and in other messages. But the dedication of the wall in Nehemiah 12 and verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. It was a joyous time, a loud time. There's a church, I forget where it is, but it was on the news this morning, and it's a black church, and they've got their amplifier, and it's an old building, so there's not much insulation in it, and they have their meetings for 3 hours in the morning on Sundays. And they have their amplifiers, and they have their drums, and they have their cymbals, and the neighbors are going crazy because it's just, they're hearing this for 3 hours, and they're complaining about, isn't there a noise ordinance in our town? So he interviewed the pastor this morning. He says, well, you know, Wednesday nights we quieted it down, and Friday nights we quieted it down, but Sunday is the Lord's day, and Sunday we're going to pray. We're going to praise. And it took me back to when Berkshire Chapel sold their building, and a black church bought it. And my aunt lived about seven doors down, and her kitchen window faced Suffolk Street, right across from where the church is, about halfway down the block. And she told me when I visited them one time, she said, boy, those people down there can sing. She said, I can hear them every Sunday morning from here with my kitchen windows open, you know. And so this pastor was quoting Psalm 149 and 150, where it talks about drums and cymbals and stuff like that, just as we have in Nehemiah. But the reporter missed it. He didn't say, well, I don't see the word amplifier in that particular passage. But anyway, they're trying to resolve that without having too much problems with the law. But here at the dedication of the temple was thanksgivings and singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem. Verse 31. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand of the wall toward the refuse gate, and it just talks about it. So they had two large choirs of thanksgiving. You know, the piece, and I thought of this as an extrapolation from a person giving offerings for thanksgiving. The other two offerings were one that was just a voluntary offering to worship the Lord, and then the third one was the, if you had made a vow and you completed it, and you were celebrating it with your friends, that you actually were, the Lord enabled you to accomplish what you had set out to do. And those three different ways of the peace offerings and thanksgiving offering. Then let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We thank the Lord in many ways. Don't have to kill an animal to do it today, but we certainly can do it and should do it and must do it to show ourselves a thankful people. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, a great resurrection chapter, which we read generally on Easter. Verse 54, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Sting of death is a sin, and the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, Paul exhorts the Ephesians to give thanks in all things. Give thanks always for all things. Psalm 95, 2, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, 2, continue in praise and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And 2 Corinthians 14, that the abundant grace, made through the thanks of many, redound to the glory of God. And I have down here in the challenge here today, then, is peace has been made. You know? Peace has been made not by us, but by Christ. Peace offerings were not there to produce peace. priest offerings were there to respond to peace. They were fellowship offerings with God and with the priests and with their friends. They were thanksgiving offerings to celebrate. So when something good happens, do we give thanks to God? And do we keep it to ourselves? We certainly can praise the Lord here in chapel. We praise the Lord at home. As I say, the prodigal son's father threw a party. Do we celebrate God's grace and mercy when we are the obvious recipients? It may be verbally, it may be financially. The Lord has blessed you with a gift, you know, and maybe you want to take a tithe out of that, or even more than that, an offering. Or do we have some friends over and tell them what the Lord has done for us? It's an opportunity. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to celebrate, even with friends, what the Lord has done for us. It's an opportunity to witness, you know, instead of just keeping it to ourselves. And I never thought of it like that before as much until I started looking at some of these, at this passage in Leviticus. It's an opportunity to witness to others about what the Lord has done for us by having them over and have time together, fellowship. And just as this offering, the Thanksgiving offering, is spelled out in Leviticus 7. I have down here, Thanksgiving is comely for all of us, but it's common today not to say thanks among our young. I remember when I went to Buff State, had a big eye-opening experience when I went to Buff State. You know, there's a lot of people that get sent up from New York City and from Long Island, Westchester County, up to Buffalo State Teachers College because it's cheap. Okay? You hold the door open, you know, as I was taught here at church and also at home, you know, you hold the door open for women, right? So I hold the door open, boom, you know, and the dust, I was left in the dust, so to speak, you know. And very seldom did any of the girls there say thanks. You know, it was beneath them. It was expected that someone would hold the door open. You know? And that taught, I learned a lot that first couple months there at Buff State when I transferred over there from after I left Michigan Tech. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a different culture down here than what we're used to up in Western New York. And we're taught to be thankful. We're taught to say thank you to people, and you're welcome, and please forgive me, and I forgive you, you know. And man, that was a totally different culture I was exposed to when I went to college, that college. It wasn't so much up in Michigan, but up at Buff State with a large number of immigrants. And they were Caucasian immigrants. They weren't anything else. They were Caucasian immigrants. But a large number of people there from the city. If any of you have experience in New York City, I'm not generalizing, but I'm just telling you what I observe. It says here, society's emphasis today is on me first, you know, or instant gratification. What's in it for me? We can't get caught up in that. Our brother Charlie Goodyear this morning at the Lord's Supper encourages us to keep ourselves from idols, whether it's television or whether it's things we have. Keep ourselves from idols, you know, and keep our emphasis on the Lord, and then remember to thank Him. It was interesting this week to see the grace of the parents and the brother of this trooper that got shot, and then it found out that he was shot by his own men, right? Friendly fire. But yet they said, the mother was on TV the last couple of days saying, despite what's happened, you know, it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for this other fellow holding himself up in the house. I have no animosity towards his partners who accidentally shot him. You know, that's a lot of grace one day or 2 days after your son gets shot. And even the brother said the same thing. I was shot and killed, actually. So there's certainly not Thanksgiving that their son and brother was gone, but they certainly didn't hold any animosity. There was a lot of grace in that statement. Does our thankfulness and our grace show to our fellow believers here, to our family members outside the Lord? That's a challenge. You know, these people back, the Jews were encouraged. The Jews were encouraged to have this peace offering and to have it, give part of it to the Lord first and to the priest second, and then to get together and celebrate the Lord's bountifulness and the Lord's goodness to them, delivering them from things or just plain being thankful. There might be somebody here today that doesn't have that peace. You know, peace was provided by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There might be someone sitting here today that hasn't accepted the Lord yet as their personal Savior. You can have that peace. You can have the peace. He accomplished the peace. We can't do anything for the peace. All we can do is accept it by accepting His death on the cross for me, for you. If you don't have peace in your heart today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, please see myself or one of the other elders here at the chapel before you leave, because that's what it's all about. You know, it's one thing to study the Bible, but if you don't apply it to yourself, or maybe you know the Lord as your Savior and something's gnawing at you, and you just don't have peace about it, and you know that maybe you know that there's something in your life that the Lord's convicting you of, or maybe not even that, but if there is, give that over to the Lord. But maybe not even that. Maybe it's just a problem you've got. Recognize the fact that Christ accomplished on the cross all it had to be done for our sins. And there's many passages in the Scripture that says that He is our peace. Okay? He is our peace. And we need to lean on Him in the hard times of life. Also need to if you like, talk to some of the elders about that if you have problems where you're really just unrest. In unrest and you have a need and just can't seem to get by it, get past it. Come and see some of the elders here. But mainly for those of you that don't know the Lord, if you were to pass into eternity today, where would you go? And the illustration to me is the most stinging illustration of that was when Brother Dave and Mike Barlett were visiting. I've mentioned this before. Visiting some 70-year-olds in the hospital, and Dave said, "Well, you know, ladies, the three of us, our life is lived. Brother Mike might live long, probably live a long time." And yet that night, he was in the presence of the Lord. We don't know. You don't know. I don't know. See? Whether it be an accident like Mike had, or whether it be a heart attack, or whether it be something else, you need to know where you're going to go if that last breath is today. And even as our sister Sue Ferguson was taken to the hospital a couple weeks ago with a heart attack, you know, that could have been a time when she came into the presence of the Lord. And that's a good thing to go in the presence of the Lord, but it's a terrible thing if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, because you won't have any peace for eternity. So if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we'd encourage you today to accept Him. If you do know Him, praise the Lord and give thanks and be grateful. And celebrate it, the fact that the Lord has blessed you, has been bountiful to you, and then share it with others. With the Lord first, give Him thanks, with the folks here in the chapel, and with your friends and relatives in the community. Let's pray.